Welcome to This Week in Palestine, a service of the International Middle East Media Center, www.imemc.org, for February 20th to the 26th, 2010. The Palestinian Authority says it is considering a binational state rather than a long-negotiated two-state solution, and Israel escalates its attacks on the West Bank communities this week. These stories and more coming up. Stay tuned. Let's begin our weekly report with the nonviolent activities in the West Bank with IMEMC's Robin O'Shea.
The Israeli military used tear gas and sand bombs at a number of locations in the West Bank this week to suppress nonviolent actions. Anti-war protests were organised at the central West Bank village of Belin, Al-Nabi Saleh village, northern West Bank, and Al-Masra village, southern West Bank. Dozens suffered effects of tear gas inhalation at all three protests. Earlier in the week, Israeli troops fired tear gas and concussion grenades on Sunday midday at a mass held by residents of Beit Zahor, a town in the southern West Bank. No injuries were reported. Residents from Beit Zahor, along with international supporters, gathered at the evacuated Israeli military base of Ushgrab, east of the town. The Israeli army abandoned the former military base at Ushgrab in April 2006, and the town's municipality transformed part of the site into a public park and a centre for the residents of the town. The municipality of Beit Zahor has been prevented by the army from converting the rest of the area into a children's hospital, serving all of the southern West Bank, as they had intended. 2 years ago, settlers announced that they were planning to erect a settlement at Ushgrab, to be called Shtema. Last week, the Israeli army came back to the old military site and started to bulldoze land and put in military installations. For IMEMC.org, this is Reuben O'Shea.
The Palestinian Authority is considering a binational state rather than a long-negotiated two-state solution with Israel. Meanwhile, new developments were reported this week regarding the assassination in January of a Hamas leader in Dubai. IMEMC's George Shmawi reports.
Israeli media reported Friday that top Palestinian negotiator Saab Erekat is drafting a new document outlining the Palestinian Authority's concerns over the stalled Israeli-Palestinian peace process. According to Haaretz, the document states that the Palestinian Authority would consider a one democratic state solution for the conflict. No Palestinian Authority source has verified this report. In other news, media reports said that more developments regarding the assassination of Hamas leader Mahmoud al-Mabhouh in Dubai have emerged. The total number of suspects in the episode has increased to 25. Meanwhile, jailed Hamas leader from the West Bank, Hassan Youssef, denied his son's involvement in the extrajudicial killing of al-Mabhouh earlier this month or any other previous ones. Some European countries, including France, Germany and Britain, want full Israeli cooperation with the already underway investigations into reported use by Israeli spy agents of their country's passports in the killing. Israel says it does not expect this would impact its ties with those countries. In other news, Israeli Prime Minister Benjamin Netanyahu said that the recent annexation of two Islamic shrines in the West Bank to Israel's religious heritage does not mean depriving Muslims their rights to such shrines. Netanyahu's statement came after Palestinians protested at the Israeli decision and clashed with Israeli army forces in Hebron and Bethlehem. In another development, the United Nations General Assembly had this week discussed the Goldstone report on the Israeli war on Gaza in January 2009. The new UN debate called for by 19 Arab countries would further demand Israel and the Palestinian Authority to conduct extensive, fair probes into possible war crimes by the parties involved. For IMEMC.org, this is George Shmawi.
Israel stepped up its attacks on the Gaza Strip this week while it continued its three-year-long siege on the coastal region. From Gaza, IMEMC's Ramel Mogheri with the story.
On the Gaza Strip on Saturday, three fighters were wounded by Israeli army at Al-Qarara village northeast of Khan Yunis. In another news, a Palestinian youth died on Monday due to electrocution in a tunnel in Rafah in the southern part of the Gaza Strip. He was working inside the tunnel and died instantly after coming into contact with an exposed wire. Hundreds of residents have died and been injured in similar tunnel accidents across the border with Egypt. Elsewhere, Israeli tanks and bulldozers invaded Wednesday afternoon farmlands located near Khan Yunis town in the southern part of the Gaza Strip. Witnesses said that tanks invaded the area and opened fire at nearby homes as bulldozers uprooted olive and fruit trees in the area that belonged to local farmers. No injuries were reported. This is the second attack the Israeli army carried out on Wednesday in the Gaza Strip. Earlier in the morning, Israeli soldiers opened fire at Palestinian workers near Beit Lahia in northern Gaza Strip. No injuries were reported. Furthermore, the Israeli Navy opened fire at fishermen in Beit Lahia. Media sources reported damage to property, but no injuries. On Thursday, Israeli tanks invaded areas in northern Gaza Strip. Witnesses said that tanks opened fire at nearby farmlands and homes. No injuries in the attack were reported. For IMEMC.org, this is Rami Al-Mighari in Gaza.
The Israeli military conducted at least 21 incursions into Palestinian communities in the West Bank this week. During those attacks, Israeli troops detained 21 Palestinian civilians, including 3 children. IMEMC's Walter Jones has the details.
On Thursday, dozens of protesters, including children, Palestinian members of parliament, and journalists, were injured by Israeli troops in the West Bank city of Hebron. The series of protests marked the 16th anniversary of a massacre where 29 praying Muslims were killed by an Israeli Jewish settler. A local group named Youth Against Settlements organized one of the protests in an attempt to reopen Al-Shuhada Street in Hebron's Old City. Soldiers closed the street 10 years ago to distance Palestinians from illegal settlement outposts located there. Israeli troops also stopped a vigil denouncing an Israeli decision that adds 2 holy sites in the West Bank to the Jewish National Heritage List. Dr. Mustafa Al-Barghouti, a Palestinian member of parliament, was among those injured.
We were all subjected to this terrible tear gasification, but the demonstration was quite successful, and it showed how resilient Palestinians are in defending their rights and in demanding the natural thing, which is freedom. It's not allowable to have apartheid system in the 21st century.
The Ibrahimi Mosque in Hebron and Bilal Mosque in Bethlehem are the latest additions to the Jewish National Heritage List. Although these holy sites are revered by Muslims, Jews, and Christians, Israeli settlers maintain total control over them. In other news, Ibrahim Abed, age 34, was injured and later detained on Wednesday by Israeli troops. A Palestinian farmer from the village of Kfar Dan, northern West Bank, Abed was injured while a group of villagers attempted to stop military bulldozers from destroying a water well on his land. Israeli troops fired upon the villagers, injuring Abed in the abdomen. Upon being transported to the hospital, Israeli troops stopped the ambulance and took him away. On Wednesday, the Israeli municipality distributed a new wave of demolition orders to Palestinian homeowners near Jerusalem's Old City. The homes in question are located in Silwan, a Palestinian neighborhood of East Jerusalem. Israeli sources cite a lack of building permits as cause for demolition. The threatened homeowners claim some of their buildings existed even before the creation of the State of Israel. For IMEMC.org, this is Walter Jones.
And that's just some of the news this week in Palestine. For regular updates, please visit our website at www.imemc.org. Thank you for joining us from Occupy Bethlehem. This week's report has been brought to you by Hassan Bannoura.